to say to you that you are in my head. This might be a little bit peculiar for some of us because we think that the sound is external and that the person talking is in fact outside of us. There is a source to this voice which is outside your head. However, this would be to locate us in space. And a more appropriate way to appreciate how this is working is to appreciate the source that we share. That is, the meaning is being compiled in your mind. Where is your mind? And again, that question regarding location is not a particularly useful question. It is more interesting to question, when is your mind full? And yes, this is a rather foolish question, but then again, that's just me. Or in fact, any one of us who questions in a playful way. And as we were doing, we are playing the instrument of our mind. How does this work exactly? Well, that depends on your degree of exactitude. And by exactitude, I mean present awareness, attention. Depends how much is associated through the words, how much is brought to bear in the listening mind. I'm listening to and by you, I don't mean an objective you, I mean an equally subjective you. Each and every you, each individual, subjective, singular you. Now, way back when, we used to have several terms for the different forms of you, and the one that sticks with current traditional English speaking is the word you, which actually refers to the plural objective you. That is, something done to a bunch of people, you people. An event occurred to you, a collection of individuals. The subjective form is ye. So ye, bunch of people, played some computer games. The singular forms for the object, that is, to compare to the object plural form of you, we have the singular form, thee. Something was done to thee. And that refers to the specific singular person, thee. So if thee is willing to appreciate that I exist as a separate entity, then, well, we should be using the language of I, thee. And of course, the I is a V to you. Okay, it gets a little bit tricky, but imagine a time when everybody's using these phrases, these terms, these four different terms for the word, no, for the relationship of us. The fourth term is the singular subject, thou. So when I speak to you as an individual, equal subject, where thou are in control of your own existence, then there is an equivalence between I and thou. We are both equally creating the meaning. This relationship of I-thou creates we. And if we extend the notion of any individual listening, which includes me, everybody listening now, this is a substantial we. We may be separated across different spaces and temporal locations. Our chronological coordinates differ. And yet, in the duration and experience of this codification of sound, we manifest. I've come up with a few terms for we. I wonder if that might be useful. So, I just began this by testing my microphone, and I began with the notion that I am listening to you, that you are in my head. I have headphones on, and you're listening to this with headphones. Is there any other way? And so the voice is inside a thou. Oh, I have to treat you as an object. Can you treat yourself as an object? Your own head. The voice is in our head. And that would require a certain degree of trust. To invite people into our head. A head. Now I plan to do some podcasts, and I shall invite people to share their experience, and while I listen to them, I shall be entering into their head, or in fact, because I have headphones, I shall be inviting their voice into my head. A head. And because we have two people apparently talking as two separate objects, in actual fact, we are sharing our respective realities, not as objects, not from outside, but really listening, never judging, because the assumption that I have operated throughout all of my life is that the reality that one exists in is, in fact, true. It is subjectively, relatively true to the head which contains it. Therefore, any negativity or opposition is contained in that head. Thus, separation. However, the actual truth is that the person's individual consciousness is in fact all true. The trick is we have different relative truths. There is no opposition, there is no noise. It is all true signal. Thus, I may invite anyone into my head. I may visit another person's head and not judge. Judging separates, whereas simply evaluating and listening and appreciating is, quite frankly, a joy. A love. Because of the relationality being demonstrated by the people on this side, we are sharing one another's reality, so anyone else may. I think there's a mathematical process of proof of n plus one. I think this might be the name of the podcast. It's either that or one to the N. I used to have that as a URL. One to the N. Now, I hadn't intended for this to be a podcast. I was only simply testing the microphone. However, since we are here, we might as well make use of our time. This is like a bonus for me because it is unexpected, it is unprepared. And the only people who will ever care to listen to this are those individuals who have, for whatever reason, enjoyed some subsequent podcast recorded in this manner, and they wish to check the first one. Welcome. You know more about this podcast than I do. If only you could communicate to me. Chronologically, you are in the future. You have listened to the podcasts that I've recorded. Some of you have been involved in the podcasts. You have contributed. attention to this reflexive listening. It is tricky to appreciate that the person talking is not as important as the person listening. But I'm not entertaining you. I am not manipulating you. There is no you. Manipulate. Manus, hand. To manipulate is to handle like clay on a potter's wheel, to manipulate the clay. But there is no object. One is exploring. And as you can tell, I am exploring in the dark. You have experienced the podcasts. What have these podcasts been doing? What has been said? How have we been influenced? Influenced is better. It is not to influence, but is to be influenced, as I am influenced by you. You, the subject, thou, and the collective thou, we. Again, you see, that's just a historic perspective. Now, quite frankly, why would anybody be listening to this contentless experiment? A microphone experiment. It's a retrospective, looking in the past. And as we know, that's not what we're doing here. We're interested in the future. Why would someone return to my chronological point before any of these recordings and listen? Why would they put themselves in the past? Well, here's why. It's just occurred to me, because the beginning is the most important time. There is so much potential. If only we can realize it. Realizing our potential, and at every moment, it doesn't matter at what time period, we are all looking forwards, realizing our potential. What is possible? What is impossible? And transforming the impossible into possible. Now, we may not be able to do that individually. We may only be able to increase the possibility of something. But at some point, when there are enough of us, and there are critical, crucial aspects altered by specific and unique individuals, then for others, the impossible becomes possible. So the judgment of impossible and possible, quite frankly, is not an individual decision to make. So whatever future objective we have, if we agree to it, is not judged by how possible or impossible it is. Of course, we can evaluate it. So, for example, it would be really nice that we have 1 million players of Armageddon. 1 million. If we manage to reach 1 million, then it will accelerate to 10 million, 100 million, even more. It will exceed the popularity of chess, Go, football. But 1 million from the vantage point of anybody at 2020 is, well, quite frankly, the evaluation is impossible. But that is just an evaluation. If we turn it into a judgment, then we must act on it. Whereas, if we accept it as an idealistic goal, a beyond realistic objective, that we have 1 million people by, here's the trick, a certain time. Now, this might sound like a dead line, but quite frankly, I'm not interested in dead lines. I'm interested in living spaces or living time. So what is the living time of this potential? Let's give ourselves 6 months. That's quite a long time. 6 months of a living potential. A living temporal potential. A living temporal potential. And of course, those people join us after this point, after we have achieved 1 million people playing Armageddon, well, it's real. It went from impossible, to probable, to actual. And this all happened through the concerted effort of a bunch of specific individuals. Well done to us. And of course, if we can manage a goal like 1 million players of an open source game, and we've done so with money flow through scale, so it becomes self-sustaining, and we generate ways of redirecting that money towards our local communities, I don't know, interesting things start to happen. I mean, can Armageddon players become like football players or these esport game players, and they're just becoming individually wealthy? Individually, they may be making hundreds of thousands or millions of pounds or dollars in our traditional economic, whereas the companies that are running it are making billions. Or more interesting, individuals who are making millions and redistributing millions, and there's more of us. The notion of ownership is replaced by usership. participants, not audience, but players. We don't just watch the games, we play the games. We are all players, and we're players manifesting a million of us playing in online open source game with money flow, redirecting money. If we can do it for a game, we can do it for other things. Sustainable living in our neighborhood, in our village, in our valley, where we live. Yeah, I like it. 6 months might be a bit short. Well, why don't we just give ourselves a year? Then we just get lazy and we don't do anything. That's the problem with a chronological period of time. If we give ourselves too long, it becomes a bit dull. We don't actually act on it. So I think the actual period of time that we commit to must be committed by the actual participants. So once we have, I don't know, 5 to 10 people who are interested in the idea of a million people, we gather together and then we come up with a relative time, which is interesting to us collectively. Now that means that we have to have an idea of how activating a period of time, a living temporal period of time, is to us. For some of us, if we say something like 6 months, nothing's going to happen for quite a few of those months. And maybe only activation occurs a month or two before the deadline. You see, yes, for some people it is a deadline. They're going to be dead if they don't manage it. The death line. Some people are like that. They're motivated by not failing. However, some of us are more interested in creating, living, and we'll be off the mark as soon as it begins. And so the collection of individuals, the 5 to 10 people, are a variety of such individuals. Each one of us listening now might recognize the kind of person we are, because this does definitely influence our personality at a deep level. There are aspects of us in different social contexts where we are motivated by avoiding failure, and there are different social contexts where we are motivated by the pleasure of success. Attracted to success, in whatever task we align to. Ultimately, that seed pod of starters aligned to a future objective like a million people playing a computer game or global unity or whatever the future objective is, the collection of individuals must determine the temporal reference in such a way that acknowledges the variety of individual responses and how active they they will be throughout that period. If there are 5 to 10 people, then 1 or 2 do nothing until the final period, and then they apply their force, their efforts, and it gets us over the line. Relative to them, they avoid death. And so there is no point complaining. Those who are proactive from the beginning, there is no point complaining about the individuals who are not participating as actively as them. Let's be patient and have faith that they will eventually kick in and actually help. This level of trust across a temporally chronologically different period is challenging to us human beings. This is the one, no, it is one of the problems that we must overcome. The trust of our future selves, individually, personally, that we actually act on what we have promised to do, where our intention and our action actually merge. They are not separate things, in fact. The expression of one's promise, the expression of one's intention is an action, and it is continuous with not only the manipulation of lips and tongue and breath, but the manipulation of the body to further the action of intent. Individually, this is alignment. Collectively, it is the alignment of individuals at any specific moment, and the equivalent collection of individuals across a chronologically separate time period. In fact, it is continuous. That is the quality or commitment of a group of individuals to a mutual objective by a certain time. It is to create the living temporal already. There is a living period which we're creating. That's what I'm exploring right now. It is the embodiment of this which the podcast is exploring, and because it is successful, that is why we are listening to this now. My imaginative capacity to appreciate your listening gives me the faith and the fortitude to verbalize, to conceive, and here we go. Commit. My verbalization is a responsibility rooted in my being, which has a continuous quality with the further verbalizations and actions I perform throughout my life to achieve objectives mutually set. Now, I cannot make a commitment collectively because that collective is not formed. So there is definitely something unilaterally that each of us may be able to perform in preparation for the commitment to a collective mutual objective. Okay, for me it is global unity. And I'm giving us a generation, 20 years. I did this unilaterally. I do it from 2020. I'm recording this in January 2021. I am happy to commit to any project which is within this framework. Anything out with this framework, I cannot commit to. Everything within this framework, I will be able to commit to wholeheartedly. Which means anybody else who is willing to commit to this level of temporal reference to make these 20 years a living potential, a living temporal potential, realizing the living temporal potential. So, if you come up with anything which is within this frame, it also will be living. Wow. Like, wow. It isn't easy to think that I'm kind of like inventing this stuff. I am, but frame of reference I am within is something like a Buddhist frame of reference, just to bring peace, I guess, to all living beings, to relieve suffering of all living beings. Now that involves not just human beings, that's universal. We haven't even gone beyond our planet, let alone galaxy, let alone solar system, actually. Who knows what consciousness, what state of consciousness is in existence universally? So to have global unity is a reasonable frame. And by global unity, I mean for us human beings. And I think that means sustainability for us to live within our global planet, our natural living organic system. I think that's a reasonable frame of reference, and I think 20 years is plenty of time. For some people it will be too short, for other people too long. For those people who think it is unrealistic, like me, when I just look at the level of disorder, the political mess, the entrenched poverty, the structures of exploitation that are way beyond the power of any individual to control. These have all been created by us. They have all been self-organized. So however entrenched it might be, and however horrific or widespread it might be, it is only a matter of time. Thank you very much. Now, to thank you, I reject the you as an object. It is not you as an object I address. Thank the specific individual object. Thou. I'm definitely thanking. Are you? Who do we thank? Are the people in the future? That is in the future. Oh my gosh. That is in the future. Everybody that we talk with is in the future. Holy. We have a tendency. I engage children throughout most of my life as a teacher, and I engage them as future, I don't know, people. Because they're future orientated, we end up doing interesting, crazy things. And it works. Nearly all our systems, all our civilized systems, treat people as objects. Turn these tools, the processes, to our advantage, to appreciate the process of being. And this process of being is future orientated. And once we appreciate this, as I do, and I hope thou dost. The future becomes an open and bright and living place. We are inviting others by appreciating them. Ah, this is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. It is a pleasure that I am exploring a psychosocial space created by your participation in everything that you do. Future orientated towards our mutual objectives. Well done for everything that you have done, and welcome to everything we are intending to do. Together. to gather. Global unity is not an objective, it is a mental state of mind, it is a state of physical action, it is organic. We are organic. What a joy. And there ends the first exploration of the first impromptu episode of whatever podcast this is, 1 to the N, or N plus 1, or whatever it is, and whatever it is that is being talked about in these podcasts. So, right, kids, right, enjoy. I'm looking forward to hearing what you produce, what you dream of, what your intention is, and what your action is, and what the results are.